broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 31st in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 2 at 2 in the goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Pray you had a delightful extended weekend, and pray you truly thought of Memorial Day as a day of remembrance and a day of commitment to those principles that made America great. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Hour two. U.S. internet giants. We're talking about Facebook, Twitter, Google, and Microsoft Corp. Four of the biggest companies in the world when it comes to tech. Now, sure, there's one or two left out, but nevertheless, they now pledge to tackle what they call online hate speech in less than 24 hours as part of a joint commitment with the European Union to combat the use of technology and social media by terrorists. DrudgeReport.com has the piece, Kurt. They talk about they want to go a step beyond national laws that criminalize hate speech. They want to take this kind of global. They say there's a need to ensure that such activity by internet users is expeditiously reviewed by online intermediaries and social platform reviewers upon a valid receipt of what they call notification to be dealt with in a valid time frame. The companies in the European Union said on Tuesday, they're calling it a code of conduct for speech. And they're dealing with the bloody attacks in Europe and all over, in Paris, Brussels, etc., by an Islamic State. And they have used the weapon of social media to spread its message of hate against its enemies. The companies are now saying it requires a huge challenge to deal with the, balance between free expression and hate speech via these online new capabilities. We remain committed to letting the tweets flow, said Twitter's head of public policy for Europe. Her name is Karen White. However, there's a big distinction between, Kurt, free speech and, listen, conduct that incites violence and hate. Now, at first glance, I agree, Kurt. The problem that I have is when you get these massive companies in bed with government, you create almost this fascist communist. Who's going to create the list of what speech is acceptable and what guidelines will be adopted by whom, when, where? And this is starting with the European Union, but the goal is to push this global. Because what? Microsoft? Isn't that an American company? I know it's a transnational corporation, but isn't it an American company? What about Facebook? What about Twitter? What about Google? So this is being hatched out of the European Union on one hand. On the other hand, it's all American-backed and based, and et cetera. This will go global. And what you're going to have is you're going to have the likes of Facebook, Twitter, Google, and Microsoft all in bed with governments around the world, starting with the European Union, to combat hate speech and to combat this idea that terrorist organizations are co-opting social media platforms to do their dirty work and promote their hate and violence and terrorism. Well, none of us want terrorism, Kurt, but I believe this is a red herring. and a goal to really shut down free speech everywhere. What speech is acceptable? Let me give you an example. Is it okay to ask about the Clinton body count? Is it okay to ask about the love child of, was it Hillary Clinton, Hubster, or Webster Hubble? Culminating in Chelsea, is she really Bill's daughter? Are you allowed to ask those questions, or is the very asking of that hate speech? What about Barack's birth certificate? You know what? We want to peek into the real birth certificate. Joe Arpaio and others documented the current one's a fraud. Can I say that, Kurt? Or is that a hate speech? What if I say I want white people to be able to advocate for their heritage, their commonalities, their history, their culture, just like every other race, and I want equality for everyone and special privileges for none? Am I allowed to say that, or is that hate speech guised as supremacy? See, where do we go with this discussion, Kurt? Do you have any comments about this? I think this is probably one of the greatest threats we face. A greater threat than Islam and everything else, if you ask my opinion, Kurt.
That's a great point, Sam. You know, when you think of it, how it used to be, I remember growing up, you know, you'd have certain kind of questionable books that might... you know, at least one that comes to mind was a book called Catcher in the Rye. And I never read the book. I don't really know much about it, but I do know that some people were concerned that it was in it, like a school library, and they didn't really want it in there. And then people that were, you know, kind of these ilk sort of folks, you know, would say, hey, that's censorship, you know. And yet now... the same people are going to, under the guise of hate speech, can basically just disallow any kind of thing that they, think is in that area. I mean, it's the new kind of censorship. It's turned around, way around, isn't it?
I think so. And I think it's disaster. I think it's one of the biggest threats we face. Because when you let these huge internet giants, Kurt, when you think about Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Microsoft, I don't know what percentage that is of the software market or what percentage if they control your speech. I don't know what speech you'll have less, Kurt, because remember, Google is YouTube. Microsoft is your Office, and between those folks, Amazon's not included. Apple may not be included yet, but this is massive. And I'm not for terrorism, but I'm scared about when you say I want to tackle online hate speech within 24 hours, who's going to decide what that hate speech is? And is it okay to say that? I mean, how much of our program would even be acceptable to discuss, Kurt? I mean, the second you go off on traditional marriage, on abortion's evil, you know, you talk about 70% of Americans feel frustrated with the presidential elections, according to Russia Today. Is that starting to get hate speech? I mean, after all, they're the presumptive nominee candidates, Kurt. You shouldn't be really disgruntled with them, Kurt. And where do you go with all this? All I know is it's very scary. We're bringing it to your attention because I believe it does not bode well for the American people and for freedom of speech. Now, I agree there is a fine line. You can't go across the line of abuse and stuff. But at the same time, you better be careful who you give that control to. And I'd rather, I mean, look, when was the last time speech killed someone, Kurt?
I don't remember that time. Do you?
No, of course not. It's never happened is the point.
Although there's people that will say that, hey, you know, guys like us caused the Oklahoma City bombing, you know, and it was...
And I submit that's a lie.
Remember,
that is hate speech to lie like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we've seen instances where the same logic, and I know that phrase logic's not really supposed to be fit in with these kind of situations, but the same logic can be applied to, say, Al Gore's book. Remember that deal with the guy up in the mountains of Washington or whatever, and then he had Al Gore's book. You know, if you take the logic that we caused the Oklahoma City bombing, you know, because of, you know, the things we say on the radio, then you could certainly use the same logic to say that, hey, bomber guy, whatever his name was.
The Unabomber, you know, yeah.
Kaczynski or whatever, that had Al Gore's book. It was Al's fault, you know.
And I don't agree with that. I think Al's goofy, but it wasn't his fault. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The Common Core curriculum is just another fad. It's new math in the 1960s and 70s gone awry. It's for the whole curriculum, and just like new math, it's already going to fail. It's already failing. The results are in, says the headline. And they talk about the state of Kentucky was the first state, believe it or not, to adopt Common Core. And then they go into the details about here are the initial results. Introduced as an ambitious educational reform solution, the goal to make sure that students across this wonderful land graduating for the, quote, K-12 system were, quote, college and career ready. Common Core is ramped up academic expectations that schools everywhere, primarily, and including those in Kentucky, well, they're still far from meeting the goals. Kentucky stepped into the national spotlight back in 2010 when it became the first state to adopt the Common Core standard after the Barack Hussein Obama administration offered federal money to help pay the cost. Over 40 other states and the District of Columbia eventually jumped in and adopted Common Core as well. Now, on Kentucky's previous state tests tied to the old standards, over 70% of elementary school children scored a level of proficiency and or better in both reading and math. But once the state introduced the Common Core lie, well, tests in the spring of 2012, that percentage dropped 28 points in reading to 48% and 48% in reading and 40% in math. That's according to the Kentucky Department of Education. Middle and high school students' scores also dropped. Of course, we knew the tougher standards would have to be followed up with extra attention to students who were struggling. Especially those students that were falling behind. But now they say scores have been edging up ever since. By spring 2015, 54% of Kentucky elementary school students were proficient in reading, or they say the English language arts, and 49% were proficient in math. Despite those improvements in the data are hidden divisions that have existed for decades. Breaking the scores down in detail shows that African American students fare worse than their white peers. Anyway, it goes on and on, Kurt, into a big old discussion. But the bottom line is Common Core has failed. Most states are seeing it. Most states are trying to back away from it. The grand old experiment has failed. And if you go to ronpaulcurriculum.com, you can learn a lot more about this deal, Kurt. ronpaulcurriculum.com has answers that are really important for people to understand. Now, I don't make a penny for suggesting this, but the bottom line for this article is, in short, Common Core is a multi-billion dollar flop. Federal money does not fix education, Kurt, is the point. And this is Solutions Radio. And that's why we take off the gloves and talk about it.
That's a big surprise. You mean a federal program to educate doesn't work?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you know, it's just like snafu, huh, Sam?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's beyond imagination. But we've known this. Yeah. But it's good to document this, okay?
Yes.
Common Core is a multi-billion dollar flop.
Yep.
That's important to understand. Mm-hmm. Federal money does not fix education.
Wow.
Right?
Yep.
It makes it worse. Always.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. It makes it worse. Always. You see, you got university professors that come up with these theories, Kurt. They've never taught in the K-12 setting. And they want their latest educational theories backed by federal money. But whenever they get the money in, their theories physically fail in the government schools. They say it's because the federal government did not. Do you know what the answer is, Kurt?
They didn't give enough money.
That's right.
Yeah, it's always more money.
Roger
that's
that.
The answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what the backers of every failed theory claim. We need more federal money and it'll work. But a far better solution is no federal money from day one, Kurt. This is Solutions Radio. Common Core is a multi-billion dollar flop. Federal money does not fix education. A far better solution is no money, no federal money from day one. Wow. No federal money. Right? We got to understand this.
And I would even go further and just say, hey, no government money to, you know, education. When you do that, you simply, you make the enterprise, if you will, or you make the market help it correct itself. When you have money coming from an uninvolved individual or party, then you mess up the whole, basically the market. You know, I don't care whatever market it is, if it's the honey market, the printing market, the, you know, education market in this case, the healthcare market. You know, whenever you do that, it just messes up that market and makes it where it's not a real market. That's why we have those out of control costs, don't you think, Sam?
Absolutely. And RonPaulCurriculum.com is just one answer, Kurt, where you can do it in the private sector. American Heritage Schools is another. There's plenty of them out there. Khan Academy for free. I mean, there's so many solutions in education. I don't know why we're even still falling for the lie, Kurt.
That's a great point, but one of the main reasons they're still falling for the lie is you got the education establishment industry that doesn't want to give it up. I mean, they're continuing to build big monster buildings let's say you simply looked and said, oh, no, we got to keep the government schools alive, or in other words, the government education. But at least you said, well, with technology the way it is, you can make the best math teacher available to every student in the country with the technology like it is. Well, then, you know, you could do that, but it would sure ruin the whole unions, wouldn't it, Sam?
Amen to that. I mean, there are solutions, folks. You got to look outside your current matrix to find them. All right, Kurt, we're going to take a quick break here in a second. When we come back, though, I want to talk about this Katie Couric, Soviet-grade media manipulation. Here's the deal. Katie Couric and others did a special on guns, a gun documentary as well. And I find this kind of fascinating because I've been talking about doing a right of self-defense documentary. But nevertheless, they did a gun documentary, and Katie Couric and others edited it to be very manipulative. She got caught. Now they're apologizing. But we'll give you the breakdown of the details. This is why you can't trust your mainstream press, my fellow Americans. Kurt Scott details. In mere seconds on your favorite talk station.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Nevada State Representative Michelle Fiore is running for Congress, but she will have to contend with the state's largest police officers union, who took umbrage at Fiore's recent remarks indicating that there are situations in which a citizen can and should use lethal force to defend himself against the police. I would never, ever point my firearm at anyone, including an officer of the law, unless they pointed their firearm at me. But once you point your firearm at me, I'm sorry, then it becomes self-defense, Fiore said in a recent television interview. Whether you're a stranger, a bad guy, or an officer, and you point your gun at me and you're going to shoot me and I have to decide whether it's my life or your life, I choose my life. In an open letter to Fiore, the Nevada Association of Public Safety Officers described her statement as utterly irresponsible, an embarrassment to the state, and demonstrates why you are unqualified to hold the position of United States Congresswoman. Addressing the legislator directly, NAPSO Executive Director Rick McCann asked, "Michelle, what are you thinking to even suggest in any way, shape, or form, to even imply that it would be a valid course of conduct for a citizen to point a weapon at a law enforcement officer?" Fiore, it should be emphasized, was talking about lawful self-defense and applied that principle to encounters with law enforcement officers. Mr. McCann might recall that the conflict at Lexington Green on April 19, 1775, the event that inaugurated the American War for Independence, involved Americans pointing weapons at law enforcement officers. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, former Cuban political prisoner Oscar Elias Biscayt told an audience of Cuban exiles that the domestic opposition to the country's communist regime is united and growing. The 54-year-old medical doctor and longtime dissident described the Emilia Project, which has gathered signatures of brave people who gave their addresses, their identity card data, saying they do not want more communism. Biscayt predicts that this movement will grow into a crowd that would end the dictatorship in Cuba. Less optimistic observers might recall that in other communist countries, movements of this kind have been used by the state to expose and destroy opposition to the ruling regime. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Sam and Kurt back with you live. We're talking about Katie Couric's Soviet-grade media manipulation. Kurt, did you get the details on this thing? This is crazy.
Isn't there? It's amazing how many stories are on LibertyNewsDaily.com. And,
Liberty News Daily releases anywhere from 15 to 20 stories a day, Kurt.
I mean, when you look through, if let's say you miss a day or two, I mean, you've got a boatload of information to just try to keep up. But on this Katie Couric thing, now, those of you who might not know who she is, you know, she's one of those inside news babes, I guess you'd call her. And I guess that's hate speech, probably, Sam, right? But anyway.
Hey, no, you can love on them all you want, Kurt. In fact, you're supposed to lust after them. That's what the goal is.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
Not really. When they put those women on TV and have them dressed like they're dressed and do what they do, it's all designed for a sexual show, Kurt.
And the headline reads, Katie Couric's Soviet-grade media manipulation. And it goes to your point that you teach us about he who owns the media makes the rules. But Epics is Yahoo's web-based network. I'm not familiar with it. But they say it claims that it's proud of an anti-gun program it recently broadcast and was hosted by Katie Couric. They say it offered a highly qualified pseudo-apology for the deceptive editing. Deceptive editing. Used by the director to put gun rights advocates in a bad light. Imagine that. He who owns the media makes the rules. I guess in one segment of the program, which was entitled Under the Gun, Couric is seen asking members of the Virginia Defense League if there are no background checks for gun purchasers. How do you prevent felons or terrorists from walking in to, say, a licensed gun dealer and purchasing a gun? Then there's a prolonged silence, which suggests that the gun rights activists were stunned by the questions, almost like they were tased by the question and struggled to answer. United audio of the interview proves that the version of Couric's question used in the documentary differed from the one posed to the gun rights advocates, and that they provided an immediate and compelling answer. The 9 seconds of silence appearing in the broadcast version had been sliced into the exchange in post-production.
Yeah, but Kurt, it was well-intended, let me just tell you.
Yeah, it was well-intended to make it look the way it did. Just like when those guys said they had Sheriff Mack at the Valley Forge event, that we were two, the Time Magazine guys and the SPL, Southern Poverty Law Center guys, said that he said a certain thing. The real things showed differently, huh, Sam? I guess.
Yeah,
Kurt,
but they got
claims,
caught lying and were forced to print a retraction. But anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Kurek now claims that her intention in re-editing the segment was to provide a pause for the viewer to have a moment, and that would be 9 moments, to consider this important question before presenting the facts on Americans' opinions on background checks. Went on to say, I never intended to make anyone look bad, and I apologize if anyone felt that way. The Liberty News Daily piece finishes up and says, it should be noted that this statement employs the familiar spin control tactic of apologizing for the fact that someone took offense at an act, rather than for the act itself.
In other words, she should be fired over this.
Yeah, well, that's... You know, and the main way she kind of gets fired is at least those of us who might have supported her would support her even less when she does this kind of thing. Epics issued a statement insisting that it stands behind Katie Couric, director Stephanie Sochtig, and their creative and editorial judgment. But the bottom line is, hey, he who owns the media makes the rules, huh, Sam?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And I think the story's tragic, but I think it was intentional, Kurt. Now, what would be your answer to her question? Because the fascinating part about this whole thing is we still don't even know the answers they gave.
Yeah,
and as long as the media makes a fiasco about this, then they can avoid the answer. So now it's all on Katie Couric's 9 seconds of manipulation, which I agree is a problem. She should be fired over it, but nevertheless, what about the answer, Kurt, to the question?
Well, okay, let's. Here's the question once again. If there are no background checks for gun purchasers, how do you prevent felons or terrorists from walking in to, say, a licensed gun dealer and purchasing a gun? So the question's got a number of problems. Number one, it shouldn't have to be licensed gun dealers. Shouldn't have terrorists walking in, for example, because we'd have our borders kind of protected, so we wouldn't have just any kind of individual walking across the border and, you know, terrorism coming in that way. But the mere presence of the gun, Sam, whether it's in the hands of a felon or anybody else in America, it helps make things a lot more, what would you say, controlled? Like, I'm sure that in the time you and I spent in the pawn shop that you and a friend of yours used to own, there were probably some individuals that were less than the, what would you say, the country club crowd that came in there. But I don't remember any of them ever, being a little less than gentlemanly in there, simply because if they started causing a problem or whatever else, or imagine if they even pulled out a gun, I'm pretty sure they would have thought there might have been some return fire, Sam, and so it seemed like it was a good way to keep the peace, if you will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when Katie Couric asks her question, I would respond and say, that's a clown question, sis.
Yeah, clown question.
All right. Bro. And what I mean by that is this. Read the question slowly for a second, Kurt, because I want to make a couple of points here.
Yeah. So she said, if there are no background checks
Stop.
For gun purchasers.
Stop.
Yeah.
So if there are no background checks for gun purchasers, my question is, what did we do for the first couple hundred years, Katie, when there was no background checks for gun users or gun purchasers? What about that?
Good point.
Do you want to compare the crime statistics of violence then to now, ma'am? Do you want to bust out and get a chart together and we'll really talk about it? Because the truth is, when you have more guns, you have less crime. Statistically speaking, that's a fact. So, Katie, my question to you is, what about that? What did we do? And the answer is we had the Ten Commandments up and people were taught the principles of morality. The answer is we had traditional marriage where men and women lived together. And I'm not saying everybody was perfect, but for the most part, the standard was fidelity to one another and a caring for one's children, a responsibility for one bringing children into the world, etc. I'm not saying there was never a breakdown and people were perfect. I'm saying those were the standards. And you jettison those standards and have the people turn away from God and have no accountability, then you've got all these problems. So what about the couple of hundred years before you had your background checks, Katie? All right. Secondly, purchasing a gun or purchasing a knife or purchasing a car or purchasing a bomb-making material separately for your farm. Okay, none of those devices, machines, chemicals, whatever words you want to use, cause a problem, Katie. What causes the problem? And the answer is people cause the problems. Guns don't pull triggers. People pull triggers. You got it, Katie? So don't deceive me with a clown question, sis. Let's back into a real discussion about how we dealt with it before, what the answers are, and how to deal with it going forward. And let's stop your intentionally manipulated rhetoric, backed up by your false editing, deceiving the people about the truth, about real answers, about real solutions. All right, now let's continue with a question, Kurt.
Very good, Sam.
Gun was your last word, sir.
Find it again. Yeah, well, all right, I moved the page away from there because I was looking at another one. But the bottom line is, like you say, it's a clown question. And, you know, she shouldn't have said it that way, but that's how they do it, Sam. I mean, they set it up their certain way. Yeah. Right?
Well, anyway, the rest of the question had something to do with, you know, how are you going to basically stop terrorists from buying guns?
Yeah.
And there's several answers to that.
Terrorists and felons.
Okay, terrorists and felons. How are you going to stop them from buying guns? And my response is this. I don't want to lump somebody into two categories, a terrorist and felon category by label. Because what you've done there then is you've created this underclass of people that never have rights.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you who the Southern Poverty Law Center calls terrorists. We'll do it in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So Katie Couric asks a clown question. She's got Soviet-grade media manipulation going on here. She tries to make it sound like the gun's the evil thing, and she tries to manipulate us into believing that somehow, you know, these background checks are so essential. But what happened to the couple of hundred years in America when we didn't have background checks? What about the couple of thousand years before that of the world's history, Katie? Anyway, then she goes on and talks about, you know what, how do we make sure we don't sell guns to terrorists and to felons? And I guess I would back up and say, you know what, most felons that maybe, that doesn't mean they're murderers or they're going to use a gun somehow nefariously. You know what? Bill Clinton should be a felon. I guess he doesn't need a gun because the Secret Service will defend him with their guns. See how we play the game? The insiders always have a way around it. But the rest of us, you know, okay, what about the guy that is a felon because he didn't pay his taxes? All right, see, we've got serious problems with this stuff, folks. Now, the terrorist idea, Kurt, Bill Clinton said that talk radio back in 96 caused the Oklahoma City bombing. It was talk radio and hate speech that ratcheted up those militia groups and et cetera. You got now the Southern Poverty Law Center running around saying, you know what? These are hate groups. These people are terrorists. You got Glenn Beck saying that anybody who wants the truth on 9/11, they're willing to work with Al-Qaeda. 9/11 truthers and Al-Qaeda, they're basically the same. And you put these spinned lies together, backed by Katie Couric's commentary, you got a clown question of manipulation to the highest degree. That's why it's called Soviet-grade media manipulation, because what you get is if I then say anything about this that doesn't defend her, quote, pro-gun control position, I mean, I might as well be with the terrorists. I mean, look, Sam's defending terror. No, I'm not. But I want to know what percent of the population commits terror. What percent of the population commits terror? And then what percent of the population is a felon? And you know what? What if they did buy a gun? Do you think that the terrorists, Katie, and do you think that the felons, Katie, are going to just roll into a gun dealer and buy a gun? Or do you think they're going to get it off the black market or get it stolen or get it maybe from Operation, what's that thing called, Kurt? We like gave guns south of the border. Yeah, Operation Fast and Furious. I think they might get guns there, Katie. So they don't need to walk into a store and pay for a gun. Your government will give them a gun, Katie. All right, so what I mean is Katie is absolutely, but look, somebody should have absolutely beat her up, but we don't even know what the answers were.
Oh, but you can't say beat her up, you know, I mean, you'd have to say, ask her a kind question about
articulately put her in a box of no retreat. Okay. All right, Mexican parents are in the news, Kurt, and I disagree with these people big time.
Yeah, and this, you know, I mean, just imagine if these were not, minority people. If this, let's just say this was a white, let's just turn the tables and say it was about Obama that they were saying this, and that they were white people. But look at this story. Headline, Mexican parents trained three-year-old girl to say, we have to kill Donald Trump. And the mother and father are encouraging the toddler to make death threats against the presidential candidate. Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars has the piece. So what you really see is, this little three-year-old says we're going to kill Donald Trump. And the mother responds and says, why are we going to kill Donald Trump? I mean, that's not what a normal mom would say, you know, at least if a little kid said that, you know, it's, and the, little child responds, 'cause he's bad. Then the mother says, that's right. And the little kid, three-year-old toddler says, we have to kill him. And the father asks, why is he bad? The child responds, because he wants to take away our family. The mother then encourages the child to make a third death threat against Trump, asking, so what are we going to do then? And then the little child again says, we're going to kill him. I mean,
now, Kurt,
just imagine if the tables were turned, Sam, and imagine if they were talking about Obama and it was a white family, you know, doing this kind of upper class or something like that. I'm telling you, you'd have, the Secret Service would be putting you behind bars, I think.
You're darn right, and justly so, Kurt. And what I find fascinating is Glenn Beck. And what's that goofball other guy's name, that fiction writer dude with him?
Oh, I can't remember the guy, yeah. Got to look it up, but we talked about it the other day.
The reason I mention that is a little more veiled threats, right? But very similar. Right. Uh-huh. And you know what? If you're Glenn Beck, though, you can get away with this stuff.
Yeah.
See, it's really the insiders versus us. Now, I reject these kind of comments. I don't care if it's coming from a three-year-old, a 93-year-old, a Republican, a Democrat, a conservative. I don't care if it's against somebody that's not my favorite person. None of this is acceptable, Kurt. None of it. Period.
Right. Now,
all right, Brad Thor is his name, Kurt.
Okay, good.
Okay, Brad Thor making veiled threats, open threats earlier kind of a thing. And all I'm telling you is that I disagree with Brad Thor, Glenn Beck, and all these people.
Uh-huh.
And they shouldn't say things like that.
Yeah.
But now, I can't imagine.
On the other hand, would you have a government agency that was going to go after them because they said something bad, would you?
Of course not.
Would
no.
You,
no, 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 no. What I would say is this. You would ask a clown question like Katie and say, well, how do we make sure that people don't say hateful things, Katie? How do you know, should we have a background check to make sure people don't say hateful things before people speak?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. What did we do before? And if you look at the First Amendment, Kurt, it talks about free speech and freedom of the press, but it also talks about freedom of religion. And you know what? This country was made for religious people. It was made for people who looked to God, not government. It was made for a moral people. What you do is you teach your children not to say those things.
Yep.
What you do is you teach standards of morality. You teach genuine respect. You teach people to agree. Let me say it over. You teach people to agree to disagree agreeably. You teach people to agree to disagree agreeably. In other words, you know what? I don't agree with Katie. And I can joke and call it a clown question just to try to take the sting out of her abuse towards us. But that doesn't mean that I really want to attack Katie. Anybody that would have threatened violence or suggest anything horrible against Katie, I would stand against them too. Even though Katie and I probably agree on very little. Nevertheless, I wouldn't advocate for any harm to come to Katie. Okay? These Mexican parents teaching this little kid to say these things is, in my opinion, pure evil. And we should stand against it, Kurt. We really should. Wells Fargo's in the news, Kurt. And Wells Fargo launches 3% down payment mortgage. Now, here's the interesting part.
Yeah.
Wells Fargo will service the loans, but Fannie Mae, meaning your government, will buy them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and as a former mortgage broker, Sam, you know, do you see the whole mortgage industry basically doing the same kind of thing that it did back in the, you know, before we had the big bust back in 08 or whatever it was?
Absolute idiocy going on, Kurt. Let me explain. Just, I'll prove it to you. Wells Fargo's glad to do this new 3% loan. They're telling you how safe and awesome and everything it is.
Yep.
And as long as they get to service the mortgage, but somebody else buys it, they're glad to participate. But why don't they say, no, Wells, why don't you back the loans and you fund the loans and you keep the loans that you originate and service on your own portfolio? And I'm telling you right now, Wells Fargo would run so fast your head would spin, my friend.
That's exactly
because they're
right.
not stupid. Yeah. They're glad to do it as long as you sell it to the suckers, the taxpayers, through Fannie Mae. Okay, but what we need to do is shut down Freddie and Fannie. And we need to actually say, listen, Wells, if you're so confident in your loan, by all means, crank it up and fund it.
And keep it.
Back it, service it, keep it, you know, etc. It'll be a great moneymaker for you there, buddy. But the answer is Wells Fargo won't do that. I'm telling you right now, they wouldn't even consider the idea, Kurt.
Yeah.
Because they would say, if you lost your mind.
They need to make a profit, and they don't want to go out of business.
Yeah. They don't have that kind of money, Kurt.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
So all I'm telling you is it's just amazing. The headline tells it all. Wells Fargo's telling you how awesome this new loan is. As long as Fannie buys it, it's incredible. We get to service it, get money for servicing, of course. We get to originate it, get money for originating it, of course. Keep it.
Yeah.
What? See, no way.
No, not that.
They're going to pawn that off on the sucker government. Putting the taxpayers over the barrel. It's a failed scenario, Kurt. I'm telling you right now, the proof is in the pudding. If it was lucrative, do you think that the Wells Fargo folks would be delighted just to pass that buck to your feds?
Good point.
Not a chance. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We've got to stand with God Almighty on the principles that made America great. Good, honest people standing together. Peaceful solutions everywhere. We can get involved. We can make a difference by our sheer numbers. We can't be stopped. If we're a good, honest, moral people turning to our God and obeying principle, we shall succeed in America. We'll remain the greatest country on the face of the earth. This nation shall endure. Hey, thanks.